وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. As always, جزاك الله خير الجزاء. Hazrat Maulana Salim Saab, for all the beautiful du'as you make for us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His choicest blessings on you. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytani rajim. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Wa idh qala Musa liqawmihi, Ya qawmi innakum zalamtum anfusakum bi'ittikhadhikum al-ijla fatubu ila bari'ikum. فاقتلوا أنفسكم ذلكم خير لكم عند بارئكم فتاب عليكم إنه هو التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, when Musa alayhi salam told his people, "O my people, you have certainly oppressed your souls by taking the calf as your deity. So turn in repentance to your Creator and slay yourselves. That is best for you in the sight of your Creator. Then Allah will accept your repentance. Indeed, He is the most pardoning, the most merciful." Now we speak regarding the repentance of those who worship the calf and the command to execute each other. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam became very angry when he saw such a large number of people worshipping the calf. He therefore advised them to mend their ways and repent to Allah Ta'ala. Surah Araf mentions, when they regretted and realized that they were astray, they said, "If our Lord does not show mercy to us and forgive us, we will certainly be of the losers." As a form of expressing their repentance, Allah commanded that those of them who did not worship the calf should execute those who did worship the calf. Commentators mentioned that when the family and friends of the executors came before them to be executed, they hesitated. Therefore, Allah sent a heavy cloud to envelop them so that none could recognize the other. Executions took place the entire day until the evening. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam engaged in praying to Allah, after which the cloud was lifted and the repentance accepted. By then, approximately 70,000 people had already been executed. Although those who worshipped the calf were not executed, Allah pardoned all of them due to the execution of the 70,000. This is in Baydawi Sharif and Ibn Kathir. The phrase, "So turn in repentance to your Creator, فَتُوبُوا إِلَىٰ بَارِئِكُمْ," tells them that they were foolish to ignore the being who created them and to worship a lifeless calf. The penalties imposed in this world are much lighter than the eternal punishment of the hereafter. Losing one's life in this world in lieu of eternal salvation is indeed a cheap bargain. Referring to this, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam told them, "That is best for you in the sight of your Creator." It is indeed Allah's great boon to the Ummah, the followers of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that their repentance was accepted. They were merely required to repent sincerely, to resolve never to repeat the sin, and to fulfill the rights due to Allah and to follow men. The doors of repentance are open to them, even if they perpetrate the worst of sins, like infidelity and polytheism, that is shirk. وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَىٰ لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّىٰ نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. When you said, "O Musa, We shall never believe you till we openly see Allah. So a thunderbolt struck you while you watched. Then we revived you after your deaths so that you could be grateful. Now the insolence of the Bani Israel when they asked to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. After the incident of the calf, another crime that the Bani Israel committed was they contested the authenticity of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. They told him they will never believe that Allah truly gave him the Torah until Allah personally told them that the Torah was from him. With Allah's permission, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam selected 70 of their leaders, and after instructing them to fast and to be physically pure, he took them to Mount Tur. When they heard Allah confirm the divine origin of the Torah, they were not satisfied. They then said, O Musa, we shall never believe you till we openly see Allah. As a result of their insolence, Allah caused a flash of lightning to burn them to cinders. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam became concerned about the fact that the Bani Israel would accuse him for the deaths of their leaders. Therefore, he prayed to Allah to bring them back to life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then we revived you after your death so that you could be grateful. وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامَ وَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ وَالسَّلْوَى كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ وَمَا ظَلَمُونَا وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. We shaded you with the clouds and sent manna and salwa to you. Eat from the pure things that we have provided for you. They never oppressed us, but only oppressed themselves. The Bani Israel were shaded by clouds in the plains of Tih and were sustained with manna and salwa from the heavens. The Bani Israel used to grow extremely tired as they walked in circles on the plains of Tih. Because of the supplication and dua of Musa alayhi salam, Allah clouds caused the cloud to shade them all the time. The cloud would travel with them wherever they went, giving them comfort from the intense heat. Since they were unable to earn a living because of their perpetual travels, Allah also provided food for them in the form of manna and salwa. Now what is manna? Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala has mentioned that manna was some type of food that descended on trees at night. In the mornings they used to collect as much as they needed. Sayyidina Mujahid rahmatullahi says that it was a type of sweetmeat. Sayyidina Ikrimah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is of the opinion that it was similar to thick marrow. Sayyidina Qatada radiallahu rahmatullahi has mentioned that manna could descend like ice, which was whiter than milk and sweeter than honey. It would come to them from the break of dawn till sunrise. Each person was allowed to take as much as one required for the day. Whatever extra they took would putrefy. However, on Fridays they collected all they needed for that Friday and the Saturday that followed. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that ajwa, a type of date that is grown in Medina Munawara, is one of the fruits of heaven of Jannah and is even a cure for poisoning. He also mentioned that mushrooms are manna and that the water of a mushroom is an effective cure for the eyes. This means that mushrooms are products of the manna which was given to the Bani Israel. The narrator of the above hadith, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, reports that his slave girl was cured of weak sightedness when he put the juice of a mushroom into her eyes. What is salwa? Salwa was a type of bird that resembled the partridge. Allah caused an abundance of salwa to come with the winds to the Bani Israel. They would catch them easily, slaughter them and prepare them for meals. The Bani Israel were instructed not to slaughter more than they required, but they did not comply with the instruction. When they tried to eat the stored manna and salwa the following day, they would find that it had already been contaminated. They would find that the salwa was already putrefied and was inedible. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if it were not for the Bani Israel, food would never putrefy and give off an offensive odor. If it were not for Hawa alayhi salam, no woman would have betrayed her husband. This is in Bukhari Sharif, because of their lack of trust in Allah, the Bani Israel stored the food for future use. They were punished for this by the spoiling of their food. It was from then only that food began to putrefy. Sayyidina Hawa alayhi salam was the first woman to betray her husband by encouraging him to eat from the forbidden tree. As a result, her progeny tend to follow in her footsteps. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا ادْخُلُوا هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةَ فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمْ رَغَدًا وَادْخُلُوا الْبَابَ سُجَّدًا وَقُولُوا حِطَّةً نغفر لكم خطاياكم وسنزيد المحسنين. فبدل الذين ظلموا قولا غير الذي قيل لهم فأنزلنا على الذين ظلموا رجزا من السماء بما كانوا يفسقون. When we said, enter this town and eat as much as you desire and from wherever you please, enter the door with your heads lowered, saying, we seek forgiveness, we will then pardon your sins. We shall soon grant more to those who do good. The oppressors altered the words to that which they were not commanded, so we sent a punishment from the heavens upon the oppressors because of their disobedience. Now, the command to enter a town in humility, the impudence of the Bani Israel, and the resultant punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some commentators say that the town referred to in the above verse is Baitul Muqaddas, while others are of the opinion that it was a place called Ariba, Jericho. Allama ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi writes that the first opinion is more accurate. The above incident occurred during the Risalat and Prophethood of Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun alayhi salam, not during the lifetime of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. During the lifetime of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, the Bani Israel were commanded to wage jihad, religious war, against the Amalika, a powerful nation who were the descendants of the Ad, to secure entry into Baitul Muqaddas. However, they refused, as denoted in the following verses of Surah Maidah. They said, O Musa, honestly, a tyrannical nation lives there. Surely we shall never enter till they leave. If they leave the land, then only shall we enter. They also added, O Musa, we shall never enter there as long as they are present there. So you and your Lord both go and fight. We shall remain sitting here. As a result of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared, undoubtedly, this land is forbidden to them for 40 years. They will wander bewildered in the earth. Therefore, they never entered Baitul Muqaddas till 40 years later, under the leadership of Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun alayhi salam, after the demise of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. They then overpowered the Amalika, and as a token of repentance, Allah instructed them, saying, enter this town and eat as much as you desire and from wherever you please. Enter the door with your heads lowered, saying, we seek forgiveness. We will then pardon your sins. We shall soon grant more to those who do good. However, they again failed to comply, and Allah says that they altered the words to that which they were not commanded. Consequently, instead of entering with their heads bowed down, they entered dragging their posteriors on the ground as children do. They did this mockingly, and instead of saying, Hittatun, it's translated as we seek forgiveness, they said the word Hintatun, a grain of wheat in the ear. As a result of their gross insolence, Allah sent a punishment from the heavens upon the oppressors due to their disobedience. The punishment was a plague which killed 70,000 of them at once. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that plagues are a form of punishment by which Allah punished those in bygone times. A believer, a mu'min, should always turn his attention to Allah and be humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially when Allah bestows his grace. Upon the conquest of Mecca, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Mecca in humility, and then during mid-morning performed 8 rakats of salah in Ummi Hani radiallahu ta'ala anha's house. Allama ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi writes that some scholars and ulama say that these 8 rakats were the salatul duha, the salah performed at daytime, whereas others say that it was salatul fatah, that the salah for of victory. They say that it is best for a Muslim leader to perform these 8 rakats whenever he conquers any place. Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala an performed the salah when he conquered Persia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the Muslims conquest in all the occupied lands, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest blessings on them. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.